Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. When you're sweating out your bets, make sure to grab a mountain cold refreshment. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It is literally made to chill. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And finally, we're also brought to you by the SGPN app. That's right, we've got an app now. Make sure you download it, get all the updates. Just enter SGPN into the App Store or the Google Play Store and download today.
Heidi ho, Degenerinos, and thank you for coming to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This will be episode number 49, and it's dedicated to Gretzky. I know you're thinking Gretzky wore 99, but no, this is dedicated to Brent Gretzky, his little brother, who wore 49 for 13 games in the NHL where he scored one goal. So yes, but we're struggling with the numbers now, but I have a younger brother named Brent also, so maybe that's why I picked it. So since there's a Canadian on the card today, I'm going to start the Canadian trivia early. I'm going to let my co-host talk. Before I introduce them, the Gretzkys, what city are they from?
Oh, damn. Isn't he from somewhere way out west? Am I wrong about that?
Yes, you're wrong about that. Fine. Edmonton's way out west, that where he played, but no, he's from right in my neck of woods.
Is he a Toronto? Toronto?
No, he's from Brantford, Ontario.
Yeah, which, I almost said that.
Yeah, which is where the telephone was invented. It's where my mom was invented. Is she born there? Yeah, my mom was invented in Brantford. A lot of my relatives were invented there. So, yes, that's where he's from, Brantford, Ontario, which is not known for much else. Well, a telephone in Gretzky, that's actually pretty good when you think about it for a little town. Okay, no more talking for you. Be quiet now, please. This is my time to shine. And who would I be, you're asking? I would be Juicy Jeff Fox, the host of this show. I picked up the Juicy moniker a few weeks ago. I've stole it off of a gentleman who got himself faceplant knocked out. So when he was asleep on the canvas, I stole his nickname. So I am the Juicy one now. Juicy Jeff Fox. You may know me from such other places as the Sports Gambling Podcast website, where I write and edit, and MMA-manifesto.com, where I write and edit. I'm pretty consistent that way. Make sure you pop on that site right now and enter our pick 'em contest at the very least. You can win free stuff. Who doesn't like free stuff? $50 gift card to whoever you want, courtesy of the good people at Sports Gambling Podcast, but it's on my website, MMA-manifesto. Make sure you are subscribing to our MMA Gambling Podcast. Since I'm giving you orders early in the show here, make sure you subscribe to our specific feed just for the MMA Gambling Podcast. That would be appreciated, because eventually we'll just be on that feed. What else should I tell you to do while you're at it? Pretty soon, very soon, you're going to be seeing our MMA picks on the website via Tally site. Tally site has added MMA to their list of sports, and so we will be held accountable for our picks on there. We'll show exactly who we picked and how we are doing with our picks. So hopefully we stop being the mediocre boys. So, but that starts with this week's show, which someone just told me after it's a horrible, horrible fight card. So we'll see how horrible it is. One issue with it is usually we would like a fight card like this because it's two heavyweight fights at the top of the card, but the key word there is heavy, not chunky. We like chunky. These are not chunky fights. These are heavy fights. But regardless, let's introduce that guy who I let talk earlier, my associate host. I think I called him a co-host, but he's an associate host. You may know him from such places as the Top Turtle MMA podcast or the Prelim Primer podcast. Lots of P's there. Or sportsgamblingpodcast.com or MMA-manifesto.com. Or maybe you know him personally. Maybe you know him from wherever he hangs out in whatever part of the United States he may live in. I'm not going to dox him here, but what can I tell you about him? He's before he became the toughest man in the world and the greatest purple belt in the world, yes, and the greatest practitioner of the Gogo Plata, he was the greatest college baseball pitcher of all time, whose senior season ERA is, let me check this again.
Oh,
8.04 was his ERA in his final season of college baseball. That would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hi.
Ooh, you had that on tap.
I do. I do my research before the show.
The senior season ERA was not good.
And if you're not a good boy, I will release your sophomore season team photo.
Oh, that's bad too. Yeah, that's not good either. I actually think the ERA is lower sophomore and junior year.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. And then
I think
you
it's because they. I think it's because they started putting me in actual situations where I would need to try to succeed. Whereas before, like you, when you just throw me in relief in a 20-2 blowout. You know, like nobody's even swinging anymore. I'm pitching against reserves. And then they started giving me starts and stuff, so that was their problem.
They should have never done that. Considering you were never a pitcher until you played college baseball, right?
Yeah, I threw one inning in Little League one time. And then I got to college and got cut as a catcher because I was a very bad hitter. And so I got cut as a catcher, and then I tried out again second time as a catcher. And they went to cut me again, and before they cut me, they were like, do you just want to try to be a pitcher? And I was like, yeah, I don't know why that's a good idea, but sure, why not? They asked me if I had pitched before, and I didn't even lie. I just told them no, Little League one time. And then, yeah, I wound up being a pitcher.
There you go. Exciting stuff. That's what people come here for. Exciting Al Bundy stories of Dan's future sports glory.
I didn't score 5 touchdowns in a game, though.
Oh, Dan knows an old person reference. You caught it. You know an old person. You've been watching your reruns, have you?
My dad was a big Al Bundy guy.
There you go. See, every week, every episode, I get a little bit more of Dan revealed. I like he lets a little bit more secrets come out, and eventually we will know all that there is to Dan. Hopefully we won't find out what else is on his phone, but we'll find out more of what's going on in this man's life. Do you want to talk about Tough? Did you watch Tough?
No, I'm 2 episodes behind now. I know that sounds crazy. Yeah, work.
No one wants to hear it.
Yeah, it's being crazy. But I do know Dustin Lampros is supposed to fight, and I'm going to officially be 2 predictions behind. So the previous week, I had the knockout prediction. I'm also going to say Dustin Lampros wins, and I'm going to say by decision. So both those decisions are sitting right here. If you guys are listening at home, you might know I'm already wrong on both of them. You might know I'm already right on both of them, but guess who doesn't know either? Me and Jeff.
I don't even know who Dustin Lamppost is. Or Dustin Lamp. Dustin, is it Lamppost or Lamb Roast?
Lamb Roast.
So you're roasting a lamp?
Yes, Lamp Roast.
Wow.
Yes, and he fights out of Florida, but he was a... Shamrock FC guy, if I'm not mistaken, which is a local promotion that I used to fight on a site that shall not be named that I might used to have worked for.
Oh, Dan doesn't want to throw shade at a site that he used to work for. I think he's got some beef. He has beef with his upcoming fight card, too, I think.
I do, a little bit.
All right. There's beef on it, just not our kind of beef, like muscular beef. We like the chunky beef. But all right, before we get into it, let's tell you about WynnBET. We do like WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today, and you'll receive a special offer up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today. All right, so the card in question is UFC. Let's see all the different names we can name this one. UFC Fight Night, Gane versus Volkov. It should be Gane or Gane. since he's French. It should be Gagné. It should be Cyril Gagné, but it's like Cyril Gain, everyone calls him, right?
I believe it's Gain, yeah.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. I'm going to tell him. Next time you interview him, tell him. It should be Cyril Gagné.
I'll let him know that his name is not wait. As French as he thinks it is.
Exactly. He's fighting Alexander Volkov, who also is not French. He's actually as Russian as he sounds. He is quite Russian as he sounds. All right, this is also known as UFC Fight Night 190, UFC and ESPN Plus 48, and we're probably going to call it UFC Vegas 30, because that's the easiest thing to put in headlines and whatnot. So this goes down to UFC Apex as per usual. You might think it's in Las Vegas, Nevada, but it's really Enterprise, Nevada, if you want to get technical about this stuff. And it is like a Saturday, June 26th. It's actually an early one, which probably is good with all the sports going on nowadays and playoffs and whatnot. With the Phoenix Suns, 2 wins away from the NBA Finals, and the Montreal Canadiens, 1 win away from the Stanley Cup Finals. Things are coming up Millhouse in this household. So it's probably good that they are playing in the afternoon when there's should be less, not playing, fighting each other in the afternoon when there should be less competition on TV. So it starts at 4 p.m. Eastern for the main card, 1 p.m. Eastern for the prelims, both on ESPN+. We're down to, what, 12 fights? 13 fights? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 13 fights. We had flyweight belt between Tim Elliott and Sue Muderji, who... Do you spell his name with one word or two, Dan? I see him. I think some people spell it one word, and some have it two words.
When I type it, I put two, but I saw the UFC has been using one lately too. So No good answer for the Americanized version of a Chinese name.
Exactly. No, I think I saw on his Twitter he's using one it all as one. So maybe that's where I will go in the future. But regardless, he hurt his knee. He got a boo boo. Actually, more than a boo boo. He needed surgery. It says so. That fight has been scrapped, but we have a really stellar 13 fight card here, right, Dan?
It's not that stellar. And here's the beef I have with it too, because you mentioned beef earlier.
I did.
Apart from like maybe a couple, like I'm gonna say there's like two, maybe three. Most of the guys on this fight card too are not even like guys where you could be like, okay, well, they're not top 15ers yet, or they're not, like, relevant in the title picture, but they're, like, unknown commodities where they're, like, interesting, and, like, we could find something out about them. It's, like, not those guys. It's, like, Yancy Medeiros, who we're going to talk about in the first fight, who's fought 8,000 times. We know everything about, you know, Charles Rosa. While I like Charles Rosa, again, he's fought 100 times in the UFC. We know everything about him. Like, Michel Pergeris, who we've seen a billion times, we know everything about him. You know, Tim Means, we've seen a billion times. Andre Feely, we've seen a bit. So it's just, like, a lot of guys who, like, we know a lot about. And, like, nobody's thinking about hardly any of those guys I mentioned as being, like, oh, they could turn their career around.
No, it's true. When I was... breaking down, I'll let everyone know, I actually do production. It might not sound like it, but I do pre-production, and I look up all the info on all these guys and gals before I break down the fights, and it helps me make my stellar picks that I'm hitting 55% of. There's a lot of, like, I do the one side of the fight, and like, oh, I'm not picking this guy. His recent history is horrible. And then the next side is just as bad. So it seems to be a lot of potential loser leaves town matches here. And not a lot of, like Dan said, up and coming prospects or people that you can feel real good about their futures, basically. There's a handful, obviously, but not as many as we've come to be accustomed to. I also found it kind of hard to handicap. I'm sure I'm going to even flip on some picks as we talk here. I flipped on some heading after I did my research. I even changed my mind on a couple picks. So did you find it a hard one to pick also?
Yeah, there's one I flip-flopped on about 7 times, including in the people who listen to me on 3 podcasts are going to love this. I picked different people on 2 podcasts already.
This is the tiebreaker.
This is the tiebreaker podcast where you'll get my actual pick, which it's always going to be the place where you get my actual pick, so make sure you tune in every week. Yeah, I mean, like, there's, like, one or two that I felt really hung up on, but, like, largely, you're right. I feel like I'm fading people more often than I'm actually picking people on this card.
Yeah,
Yeah, and it's an easier time to be like, who am I more down on their weaknesses than who am I up on their positives?
Yeah, very true. There's a lot of, I don't want to pick a lot of these people, but I'm forced to because there's the other option is not any better, obviously. So hopefully that gets everyone excited for the.
This is gonna be great.
Markup this week. It's gonna be a great, and this is gonna be a great episode too. It's a non-exciting fight card with a bunch of loser fighters, and we don't know what we're doing with their picks. So this is what more could you want from a gambling show? Trying to send you on the correct path. And this is good. This is the first card that we're going to be doing tally site picks on the site on our MMA, not MMA, sportsgamblingpodcast.com too. So it's good. A card that we're kind of in flux on. We're gonna hopefully start off on a really bad foot, Dan. That's the way we do things around here, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's typically how we start. We always start slow.
All right, we started this slow enough. I guess we gotta get down to it, or we're gonna be here all night. Let's talk about the aforementioned Yancy Medeiros. He's in a lightweight curtain jerker against Demir Hadzovic. I'm sure that's not where Medeiros was hoping his career was headed. He actually, I think it might have been short notice, but he headlined a card a few years back, right?
Did he?
Pretty sure he did.
Did Yancy Medeiros headline a card? I'll put the intern on it.
Yeah, I can. No, my intern's on it too, if you rather. But
yeah. We'll put both right. By the way, this is a very fancy podcast. We actually, he did. He fought Cowboy Cerrone, and not even that long ago. It was just over 3 years ago.
Yeah, so this is where his career has gone. He now is jerking the curtain on a pretty weak fight night card that's just on ESPN Plus, not even on ESPN. But anyhow, so he's fighting Demir Hadzovic. This could be one of those loser leaves town matches that I was hinting at before. All right, this was this one of the fights that was already scheduled, I believe, right?
It was indeed already scheduled. Yes.
Did we break it down? Do you remember?
We didn't. I'm about to flip flop on the person who I originally picked.
Oh, really?
So,
okay. See, I didn't remember that we. I have a whole spreadsheet page full of canceled fights, and it is stacked. Oh, Avila Stolarenko was one of those too. I did all the research for these people, and I've in like a haze yesterday, and I this morning, not realizing that I'd already done research on all these people. Yeah, last time Dan picked Hadzovic, so he sounds like he's flipping and then flopping. All right, let's get to it. Medeiros, nicknamed the Kid, Hadzovic, nicknamed the Bosnian Bomber. What are you thinking?
Bosnian Bomber wins the nickname battle. Very clearly on this one.
Because Medeiros is what, in his 30s by now. He's not a kid. Come on. He probably has kids by now.
Yeah, I believe he does have kids.
Yeah, there you go. All right, the Kid, quote unquote, is 15-7 with one no contest, 8 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 4 times. He's a stellar, sparkling 6-7 in the UFC. Due in part to a 3-fight losing streak he's currently on. He's not fought since February of 2020. However, I always like referring to the stack because I think it may have got worse still. Fighters who have been off at least a year or more are now 37-31. So we're up to 54%, which is, it goes against all what common knowledge it would be like. Oh, ring rust, it's going to bite you. But apparently Dominic Cruz is right, and so is Gumby Vreeland, who says getting punched in the head frequently isn't good for you either. So you should probably take some time off. So anyhow, the Kid, like I said, 3-fight losing streak, February 2020. Before the UFC, he was in Strikeforce, where he's 2-0. He has an inch of height, 5 inches of reach. He's a year younger. He's a more active striker of the two. Active striker meaning he lands more strikes per minute than his opponent, than Hadzovic does on average. And he's at plus 120. Hadzovic, he bombs from Bosnia. He's 13-6 with 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. I think doesn't he live in like Denmark or Belgium or something though?
Hadzovic, I'm pretty sure trains in Florida now, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, because I thought I saw there was some interesting. He used to live in Copenhagen, I believe. So, yes,
That's probably in the not to stereotype here, but that's probably the fleeing of Bosnia type deal.
Yeah, it sounds like which is kind of why the Bosnian Bomber makes me kind of cringe a bit when I hear that. But regardless, yes, he was born in Bosnia, raised in Denmark. So there you go. I represent both countries. I love both countries. Denmark is my home. It's Bosnia hardware, Danish software. So there you go. I'm sure everybody wanted to hear about that. But that's Demir Hadzevic's backstory, in case you need to know that. 13-6, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions, 3-4 in the UFC, also sparkling. 0-2 over his last two. He got subbed his last fight, which was way back in March 2020. So basically that's the wash here. We can't really take that out of the cage stat in effect, because they both went out of the cage. Striking stats in his favor, minus 150. I'm going Medeiros too, which I think is where you said you're headed to.
Yeah, and you know what? When I taped the Top Turtle podcast earlier this week, which should be out tonight if you're listening, you can go ahead and subscribe to that and listen to that as well. I actually took Hadzevic on that show, and then I talked with Benjamin Abrego from the Fixed Fights podcast, who's co-hosting the prelim primer, which you could probably also catch later tonight if you want to get a whole bunch of Gumby Vreeland up in your ears. And he made a really good point. Hadzevic is a guy who kind of gets sucked into other people's fights. I think the first time I picked him, I was like, oh, he has the wrestling to take down Yancy Medeiros and control him if he wants to. But the thing about Demir Hadzevic is I just don't have any of the faith that he's actually going to do that. And Ben pointed that out, as he was like, look, Hadzevic could do that, you're right, but do you have any faith that he will? And if he goes and slugs it out with Yancy Medeiros, is he going to win that fight? And I think it's a resounding no. I think Yancy Medeiros wins that fight if it goes that way. And the more and more I think about it, the more and more I think it's going to go that way. Now, I don't think Yancy's going to get him out of there, but I do think he's going to be, as you said, more active and active enough. Plus, you know, if we are making these picks based on odds, plus 120 for a guy in a fight that we're talking about being essentially a coin flip seems like the right way to go.
So you're saying his Danish software is faulty?
I'm not saying anything's faulty. I am saying he maybe he likes to swing more than he ought to.
He's a bomber, though. Come on.
That's it right there. That's all you need to know.
There you go. So we're both taking the kid at plus 120. I was having issues, not issues, like I don't go out. I think we mentioned this last podcast. We don't go out looking for underdogs, but I found after I went my first run through, I did not have very many, but I've since actually flipped over to a few. So yeah, this would be one of them. I didn't flip to this one. I think I had this one all along. So the kid at plus 120 was starting you off with some plus money. Moving into these guys are lightweights, and these guys are featherweights, aren't they? Yes, Charles Rosa, Justin James. So we got Charles Rosa, Boston Strong versus Justin James, Guitar Hero. Dan, do not be a masshole. Pick the right one.
You know, I want to pick Guitar Hero, but with Boston Strong being something that's like around a tragedy, right? Like he adopted that nickname, I'm pretty sure, after the Boston Marathon bombing. So it's like a point of pride for the area that, well, not the area I live in. That Boston's 2 hours away, but Massachusetts is the area I live in. So, and it's hard for me to talk down about a nickname that's tragedy related.
Yeah, that's true. That's always the best nicknames, one, right? The ones that are based in tragedy.
Well rooted in a national tragedy.
Exactly. Fine. We'll take Boston Strong. Justin James, the Guitar Hero, is 16-7 with 8 knockouts, 5 submissions. He is 1-3 in the UFC. He won his debut, and then he lost 3 straight. This is what I'm telling you. This is what we were trying to warn you about, this card, people. We've got a fighter on 2-fight losing streak. This guy's on a 3-fight losing streak. Charles Rosa is on a 1-fight losing streak. Yeah, this is the loser card. So like I said, 1-3. He hasn't just lost his last three. He's been finished in all three of his last fights. He was 1-0 in Bellator before this. He's 3 years younger than Mr. Rosa. Striking stats and active striking stats in his favor, plus 140. Mr. Strong Boston is 13-5 with 3 knockouts, 8 submissions. Both these guys are finishers, so that may be something you want to think of if you want to do a prop here. He's 4-5 in the UFC, 1-2 over his last three. He lost his last fight. 2 inches taller, 1 inch of reach. He's the superior grappler, both by eyesight and by the stats, minus 175. Mr. Vreeland, over to you.
Well, let me tell you this. First of all, you want a piece of bad analysis that you can follow along with.
Charles, did I just give you one?
No, I'm about to get. I'm about to give you one. So Charles Rosa.
I thought I said something bad.
No, not yet. Charles Rosa made his UFC debut in 2014. Do you know how many winning streaks or losing streaks he's had since then?
Zero.
He has alternated wins and losses nonstop since 2014 when he first got to the UFC.
I usually notice that. Thank you for picking that up.
And he's coming off a loss. So there you go. He's going to win this one. But all joking aside, I am going to take Charles Rosa in this one. Justin James, I think, has the wrestling background that could give Rosa trouble. But I actually spoke with Rosa this week about his increasing his wrestling workload and working more on his wrestling. And in addition to that, I think even if Justin James chose to be the aggressor in the grappling here, I think there's a solid chance that Rosa subs him off his back, because Rosa's submission game is really high level. You know, it didn't look great against Bryce Mitchell, but he does have really high level grappling. So I kind of see this as a fight where if James chooses to take it down, it's going to be bad. If he waits and lets Rosa take him down, that's going to be bad. And I just don't think he's going to be able to keep it on the feet long enough to be successful. So I'm going to go with Rosa. And like you said, I would not be surprised with a submission here.
Yeah, I'm taking Rosa also. The grappling is the name of the game here in this fight. So probably James will be doing his guitar solos in a different organization, you would think, after this. Because being finished three straight, if he loses here again, that would be four straight. I'm surprised he's still around, actually, with three straight losses. That usually, especially with a guy who's not established, that usually makes you bye-bye. So
yeah, but
I'm calling for anyone to be.
I think the short notice knockout of Frank Camacho went a long way. Because he took that fight on like 4 days' notice. He knocked out a guy up a weight class who has actually fought up two weight classes at one point, right? Like Camacho's fought as heavy as 170. So, like, I think that went a long way for the UFC, especially because, like, while James may not have had, like, the greatest next few fights, he is exciting. Like, when he's striking, he's exciting.
Yep. It's very true. You know what else is exciting? Drinking Coors Light, Dan. How's that for a segue?
That's a great segue.
Dan, do you ever feel that these days everything is go, go, go?
You're actually asking me. Yes.
Yes, I'm asking you.
Yes, I do feel that way.
Do you feel like it's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time? It's just work and friends and family and a million pressing social issues and expectation to be on 24/7?
I do feel that way. I do indeed.
Yes. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. What should I tell you about next? Coors Light, there's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. I actually just told one of our writers that he was all overheated from his day job, and I said, hey, you need a Coors Light, man. It's time to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight into your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, and as always, celebrate responsibly. All right, let's move on to women's bantamweight, Julia Avila. I think she's Julia also, isn't she? Stolyarenko?
Yeah, I think it's Julia, even though there's a second J in there. Yeah, I think it's Julia.
Fainty McFaintfaint, we'll also call her. That's her name. She doesn't have a nickname, so she's Fainty McFaintfaint is her new nickname. How's that?
That's harsh.
Based in tragedy. based in almost tragedy. So no nickname. It's going against Raging Panda. Duh. Obviously, Avila wins. Raging Panda was going to beat anything, even Fainty McFaintfaint. All right, Stolyarenko. This fight was scheduled a couple months back, I guess it would have been. And Stolyarenko, they let her, the commission and the officials let her pass out a couple times while she was trying to weigh in, which was a really smart move by them. Yeah, that was back in March. So yeah, they let her collapse twice. Isn't that nice of them?
Just
so hopefully. Yeah, it was. That's a great look for the sport. So hopefully she is on point with her weight cut down to 135 for this week's fight. So yeah, this will be women's bantamweight. She is 9-4-2 as a pro with 8 submission wins. She's been knocked out twice. She's 0-2 in the UFC. She was in Invicta before, where she was 1-0, and that made her the champion. She was in one fight there, and it was for the belt. She also was a Lethwei champ. Do you know what Lethwei is, Dan?
Yeah, it's a bare-knuckled Chinese. I'm going to mess up the it's Asian. I know it's Asian. It's sometimes announced by Robin Black, but it's like a bare-knuckled, no-holds-barred version of MMA.
Yeah, it's like I think it's like people say it's like the most fierce kind of fighting basically out there that's legal. Headbutts are allowed, stuff like that. So yeah, it's legit. Where is it based? Myanmar is where it's based. So
I wasn't gonna get that at all.
I think a Canadian's like the king of it too. Speaking of Canada once again, can't remember his name. You would think I'm in Lethwei the way I have no memory of anything, but yeah. So there's a little tidbit for you. She was Lethwei champ. She was the Invicta champ in MMA. She does have weight cut issues, as I mentioned here. She's 5 years younger than the panda that rages, and she's at plus 260. As for the angry raging panda, she doesn't really seem angry or raging at all, and she doesn't look like a panda, so it's kind of a fraud nickname, wouldn't you say?
I think maybe, though, the fact that she's not raging makes her a panda, right? Because pandas aren't angry, right?
No, I haven't really run into any angry pandas, to tell you the truth. So she seems quite lovely, which means Dan probably wants her to get her face smashed in or something. or do you like Julia Vila?
I like Julia Vila, actually. Yeah, all right, good. I'm a fan.
Cool, thank God. All right. She's 8-2, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. She is 2-1. In the UFC, she lost her last fight after a 2-fight win streak. She was Invicta isn't as easy to say as it seems. She's one and one there. 2 inches of reach, striking stats in her favor, minus 350. She's my pick. I'm not really a fan of minus 350, but I'm going with the panda.
Yeah, I actually don't even mind the number. I think it's big, but Julia Vila is really tough in the clinch and really physically strong. And so far, all I've seen out of Stolyarenko, particularly in her UFC stint, is like, and she's actually had 2 separate stints, right? Like, she was in the UFC, lost her only fight, came back, lost again. And mostly what I've just seen is she has trouble with people who are stronger than her. And she just happens to be fighting one of the people who I actually feel like is one of the strongest bantamweights in the world right now, in Julia Vila. She's very, very physically strong, and she works well in the clinch, and she throws good knees. I think apart from like a Hail Mary submission attempt here, Stolyarenko has almost no path to victory for me. And Avila has been finishing people too. So, yeah, I like Avila quite a bit in this one. I think it's a pretty obvious pick.
And also, she's a geologist. That's her full-time job. So how can you pick against a geologist, really?
I think it's wild that is she a PhD or a PhD student? Am I thinking of Miranda Maverick? Miranda Maverick's a PhD student.
I know she's a geologist.
She's got to have some kind of fancy degree. But anyway.
Yeah, probably.
We digress.
She's smart, but she gets punched in the face for her, just for fun, I guess, on the side, when she's not geologing. I'm sure geologing is the word for that, right?
I think you nailed it.
I nailed it. All right, what are we on to next? So we agreed on another one here. Have we agreed on everyone so far?
So far.
And I took Charles Rosa, despite the top turtle MMA curse being a real thing, which definitely everyone get that trending on Twitter, hashtag top turtle curse, and then because fighters need to be aware of this before they step to the mic with you. All right, have you interviewed one of these next people? I think haven't you? Light heavyweights, Marcin Prachnio, Ike Villanueva. Haven't you interviewed Villanueva?
He may or may not be on the show this week.
Oh crap. Okay, no, we're good. I'm looking at my picks. We're good. All right, Hurricane Ike against no nickname. So we'll give Hurricane Ike at least a W in the nickname category. He's 18-11, 15 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself 5 times. He's been subbed, tapped out 5 times. So that's pretty consistent. So one of his losses went to decision. The rest, he's been finished. 1-2 in the UFC. He got knocked out. No, sorry, he won via knockout his last fight after dropping his first two. He was 1-0 in Bellator before this. He was a journeyman fighter before hitting the UFC. He's at plus 165. He used to fight at heavyweight, correct? This is light heavyweight?
He has some fights at heavyweight. He made his UFC debut at heavyweight, but that was just because it was on short notice. But I'd say most of his career has been at light heavyweight.
Is he a chunky guy?
Heavyweight is very much
no. Yeah. But, yeah, okay. Just checking. Prochnio, because we have to keep track of these things, guys. 14-5 is Mr. Prochnio. 10 knockouts, 1 submission. He himself has been knocked out 4 times. He's 1-3 in the UFC. He dropped 3 straight and then won his last fight. He's 4-0 in 1 championship before this. 2 inches taller, 1 inch of reach, 4 years younger. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, minus 210. I'll go Prochnio. I don't know about minus 210 with two guys who get knocked out a lot, but let's just go with it.
I'm going to go with Ike Villanueva because of what you just said. Because of guys.
He was on your podcast.
Well, he was on my podcast, but also guys get knocked out a lot. Prochnio, dude, is one of the sloppiest dudes in the world when he gets somebody hurt. Like, go back and watch him fight Sam Alvey. It's one of my favorite things in the world because he hit Sam Alvey once pretty freaking hard, and he goes in for the kill, and he throws some of the widest winging punches I've ever seen in my whole life against a guy who's got a mean-ass counter left in Sam Alvey, and he gets starched. And not for anything, Ike Villanueva actually has a really good counter and is pretty durable. You know, you mentioned he'd been knocked out sometimes before. Like, I kind of write off some of the ones he's been knocked out against, right? Like, the Jordan Wright fight isn't actually a knockout. That's a doctor stoppage due to a cut. The Chase Sherman one's up at heavyweight. And, you know, if you want a knockout loss for him before that, you got to go all the way back to 2011. Like, he hasn't been, like, knocked out by a guy who's not a heavyweight in 10 years. Like, that's a really long time. And I actually find him to be pretty durable. So, and then you compare him to Marcin Prochnio, who's been starched a couple of times recently, just has a weird decision win over Khalil Roundtree. Probably should have been cut before that because he had been beaten the first round every time. I just think he gets sloppy enough here for Ike to tag him.
That's classic Dan Vreeland there, using revisionist history to make his pick seem better to him. Saying, oh, no, he really lost that one. He really won that one. That's such a Dan Vreeland
move. I didn't change any results there. I just said simply, he has not lost by knockout to anybody other than Chase Sherman in 10 years. That's not revisionist.
I'm not going to fight this point.
That's not revisionist.
No, okay. This is can they both lose? Can we pick that double knockout? Is my pick here? If I really have to make a pick, but yeah, I'm not too sold on either guy, but well, I'll stick with the chalk, even though I don't like the line. So I'll put that out there. Welterweights, Warley Olivez versus Jeremiah Wells. No nicknames for other guys, both losers. Wells, 8-2-1, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. This will be his debut on very short notice. It was just about a few days ago when he got plugged in here. He just didn't just win, but the last fight he won the CFFC championship, but that was way back September of 2019. He's won 2 straight fights, but he hasn't been in the cage in almost 2 years at this point. 3 inches of reach, plus 185. Alves 14-4, 4 knockouts, 6 submissions, 8-4 in the UFC, 2-2 over his last 4. He got a TKO win in his last fight. He was 3-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and went on to win the Ultimate Fighter season he was on. 2 inches taller, 5 years younger, minus 240. First of all, do you know Jeremiah Wells?
I do, yeah. He's a Daniel Gracie guy. So if he's a Daniel Gracie guy, that means I know him. Because that's slowly becoming one of my favorite, like, under-the-radar gyms. Because that's where Sean Brady's from, and I think Sean Brady is, like, the future at welterweight. But also that guy who won with the Polish-sounding last name on the first episode of The Ultimate Fighter was from there. Petrovsky. And then there's another one, too. Pat Sabatini comes from that gym as well, who also had a hell of a debut. So Jeremiah Wells comes from that gym. So, yeah, I know a little bit about Jeremiah Wells. For those of you who don't know him, I would just summarize it as this. Like, he has the wrestling, but not the wrestling that his teammates do, the ones we're talking about here. He's got explosive hands, maybe even better than his teammates, but it's just, like, not quite as technical. He's kind of a wild man in there. And I think in a fight with Warley Alves, that's a problem, right? Because Warley Alves is an opportunist, right? Like, that guy is just waiting for you to make a dumb mistake. Like, he did it to Mournier Lazez. He did it to Sergio Marais. I mean, like, if you really, really want to go back, he did it to Colby Covington. The guy's got a submission win over Colby Covington because Colby did something stupid. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think Warley Alves has been kind of one of those guys who's, like, been on the edge of turning into something that's kind of a big deal. Like, I think, you know, he's made a couple of dumb mistakes here and there, but, like, I think he's actually got a really high ceiling in this sport. And I think he's, like, the wrong kind of first opponent for Jeremiah Wells, as long as I'm just being super honest.
Yeah, Alves is my pick as well for this fight. So
I think he probably gets a finish, too, if you want to get propsy here early.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Will Dan put that on his tally site pick, though? Will he be brave enough and put that there? Because you can pick over-under round amounts, too, on there, Dan. So we'll see. We'll see if you roll the dice or not on the public record. I'm going to go on the public record and tell you I like PropSwap. We are brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Find the best odds in NBA championship and Stanley Cup futures when you buy directly from other bettors on PropSwap. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time with one click of a button, and PropSwap gives you a suggested price tool to let you know how much your ticket is worth. Last week, a PropSwap customer purchased a Milwaukee Bucks championship future for $150 when they were down 1-0 versus the Nets, and then resold it for $1,000 after the Bucks won Game 7, which was a smart move because the Suns are winning the title this year. Everyone knows that. So that person was smart to get off that losing ticket. A few weeks, it will be worth zilch. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Think of it like the stock market, but for sports betting. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. Welterweights up next. Shavkat Rakhimov versus Michelle Prezeris. Prezeris, nickname Tractor, which translates to tractor. Rakhimov, nickname Nomad, which I assume translates to nomad. What nickname do you like better, Dan?
I think I like Nomad. Tractor. Yeah? Tractor's kind of weak. Although
it's very fitting
for him, though. Like, he is built like a tractor, dude.
Naming someone, no, I think that's what puts it over the edge for me. Naming someone after a piece of farm equipment, that's going to win. Tractor.
And that's fitting for him, too. He's like a truck.
Yep. Let me see. Let's tell you about the truck first, the tractor truck. 26-3 as a pro. 1 knockout, 11 submissions. He debuted way back in 2000. He's been around a long time. You know, I never would have guessed that, but yes, he's been around for a long time. He's never been finished in a fight, too, which is impressive. 21 years, never been finished in a fight. This will be his 30th pro fight. 10-3 in the UFC, which would you have guessed that?
He had like a 7-fight winning streak at one point, didn't he? Like a 7 or 8-fight win streak.
Eight-fight, actually, yeah. He's 8-1 over his last 9. He lost his last fight. So, yeah, I think the reason issue here is he's been gone since February 2019. I forget things that happened in February 2021, so there's no way I'm going to remember this. But anyway, he's got a very nice resume here. But despite all that, he's at plus 215, which probably tells you that the Nomad is quite a prospect. The Nomad is 13-0 as a pro. There you go. 7 knockouts, 6 submissions. So all he does is finish people. That's it. Hashtag finish people. He won an UFC via a sub submission. He was 6-0 in M1 where he was the champ. So he's fought high level for at least 7 fights. 7 inches taller. Listen to these stats. This is the big thing that's going to put it over the edge. 7 inches taller, 10 inches of reach, 13 years younger than his opponent. Striking stats in his favor, minus 280. I'll take that, please, and thank you.
Yeah, I think the reach advantage is so important in a lot of fights, but in this one especially, because Michel Prezeris is just like, you know, we were joking about it with his nickname, but the dude is just like a solid muscle. And he's kind of gotten by on his career, in his whole career, just being the physically dominant guy, because he fought most of his career at lightweight too, right? Like, he hasn't fought at welterweight very much. He went up to welterweight, got countered by Ismael Nardiev, who is literally not still in the UFC. Since he beat Michelle Prezeresh, he went on like a big old losing streak and then wound up no longer in the UFC. Meanwhile, Prezeresh hasn't even fought since then. So, like, it's kind of a bad loss if you go back and look at it, and just kind of proof that, like, if he can't hold you down, he doesn't have much of an answer. And I don't think he'll even get close enough to Rachmaninoff to be able to get him down. And if he does, Rachmaninoff's defensive wrestling and his submission game is exquisite. I think this one is a very clear pick to Rachmaninoff. And I'll say this, too. I'm very high on Shavkat Rachmaninoff. I would not be surprised if he was the first one to finish Michel Prezeresh.
That was my next question. We are in sync here, Dan. Synchronicity. I was going to ask you what you think of him as a prospect. Is he legit? Is he the real deal?
He's one of my favorite welterweight prospects. The only one who I would say is a better welterweight prospect for me right now, and maybe you can't even call him one anymore because he's in the UFC's official rankings, is the aforementioned Sean Brady. Yeah, like,
yes.
Sean Brady.
Man, I love Sean Brady.
I think Sean Brady is like a top five guy right now in a division that has like killers in the top five. So, yeah, like, I think Shavkat Rachmaninoff is probably already top 15 too, and I think he's going to show it here.
Dan loves Sean Brady.
I do love Sean Brady.
Do you think he's cute?
I think he's got a very hideous back tattoo, but he is.
He does. Yeah.
Not fun.
He's not alone in the UFC. It's the realm of the hideous back tattoos. All right, let's get to our prelims main event: light heavyweights Kennedy Enzichukwu versus Danilo Marquez. We got a lot of Danilos, Demirs, a lot of Eastern Europeans on this card. Marquez. Oh, we're talking about nicknames. Marquez doesn't have one. Enzichukwu, African Savage, which kind of I find problematic, but I guess we got to pick that since he's only one with the nickname, Dan.
Yeah, and he's the guy who came up with it, so I think it's less problematic if he picks it, right?
Yeah, I guess. But two white guys here are saying, yeah, we're going with the African Savage.
Yeah.
It just doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah, maybe we should defer.
Hashtag canceled. The podcast got canceled. Hey, I'm just reading what it says on the sheet. He says that's his nickname. So, and he's a big, scary dude. I don't want to make him angry. Mr. Marquez, we'll go talk about first. 11-2, four knockouts, five submissions. He's 2-0 in the UFC. He got a sub win his last time in the cage. He's an inch taller, 7 years younger. Striking and grappling stats in his favor. Kind of a short, not short, kind of a small sample size. Two fights for him, three for Mr. Savage. And he's at plus 100, so even money for him. Enzichukwu, 8-1 with five knockouts, 2-1 in the UFC. You're not laughing at how I say his name. I must be saying it properly. Then.
You're not, but that I've given you a pass. I'm giving you a pass on this one because it ain't easy. It's Enzichukwu.
Am I better than Shockwave would say it though, right?
100% better than Shockwave would say it.
As long as I'm better than your other podcast husband.
I'll tell you about when we get to a name later. I'll see if he slaughtered as bad as he did this week.
All right, we shall see. All right, 8-1, five knockouts, 2-1 in the UFC. He's won his last two fights after dropping his debut, a knockout win last fight. Who that was against?
Carl Olberg, who's a hell of a prospect.
Right, yes,
and
yes,
he landed,
yes.
Like, because Enzichukwu took like 150 punches to the dome in that fight, too.
Yes, yes. This is a short notice fight for him, though, so that's something to keep in mind. He's got 6 inches reach, three times more active striker than Marquez, minus 125. But we'll let you do the honors here first.
I'm going to take Danilo Marquez in this one. I really like Enzichukwu. I think he's got a lot of promise. He's younger. But here's the problem I have is his takedown defense is not that good. And he just so happens to be up against a guy who's really, really solid on the mat. I think Danilo Marquez does an exceptional job when it gets to the ground. I mean, like, if you look at that last fight against Mike Rodriguez, he really tooled on Mike Rodriguez on the ground. And I'm not sure there's much of a difference between Mike Rodriguez and Kennedy Enzichukwu on the mat. Zuchuku got taken down four times by Darko Stojcic and pretty much only walks out of that fight with a win because he got kneed in the balls like 15 times. So I kind of expect that Marquez is just going to put him against the fence, get him down, and probably submit him as quickly as he needs to.
Yeah, he's definitely going to have to close the distance with, what, half a foot reach difference between the two.
I don't think Zuchuku uses that reach as well as he could. Like, I'm not going to call him the Stefan Struve of the light heavyweight division, but he's got some of those tendencies where he fights more like a short guy than he ought to. And I think that that's especially a problem against somebody like Marquez.
Yeah, I'm going to go Marquez too. This was one of the ones I had a question mark against, but yeah, the wrestling puts me over the edge. Plus, I'll take plus money if it's a coin toss in my book. So I will take the guy who has a clear path to victory and the plus money. So that wraps up the prelims. We will do, as we always do, the main card ad free. But first, let me tell you about the SGPN app. Our own app. We have our own app, and it's live in the App Store and Google Play Store. The app gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. You get notifications every time a podcast drops, which is nice. Don't forget to download it, and if you do, throw us a kind review on wherever you download it from, and you'll definitely enjoy the app. I enjoy it myself, so there you go. Okay, main card time. Lightweights, Renato Moicano versus Jai Herbert. First of all, he's not really Renato Moicano. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Moicano is not his name.
Yeah, well, Moicano means Mohawk in
there you
Portuguese.
Go. Yep. That's his nickname.
And he actually got that nickname as a kid because when he was a kid, he wanted to look tough, so he shaved his head into a Mohawk. And since then, nobody's called him anything but Moicano. So
that's
it's a Brazilian
very
thing.
Brazilian
yeah,
thing.
Like
yeah.
Shogun.
Carneiro.
Shogun Hua. Yeah, actually, when he first came up, it was in when he first made the rankings. It was in there as Renato Carneiro.
Yeah. Well, there you go. He's fighting Jai Herbert, who's a black country banger. I think I'll go with that because Moicano does not have a mohawk, so it's false advertising.
Herbert has for some fights.
A banger from the black country, though.
Yeah, and I didn't know what the black
country,
I didn't know what the black country was until I interviewed him too because I've also I've interviewed both of these guys.
Okay,
yeah, he's
good.
From some part of England where apparently there were like a lot of mills, and then call it the black country because of that.
Okay, all right. I was getting worried that you interviewed him, but you interviewed both, so that cancels out the jinx or something's going to happen to both of them possibly before the fight even takes place. So. If this fight takes place, here's the stats you need to know. Herbert is 10-2 with 8 knockouts, 1 submission. He himself has been knocked out twice. It's the only way he has lost, actually. He's 0-1 in the UFC. He got TKO'd his first fight. He was the Cage Warriors champ before this over in the UK. 2 inches taller, 5 inches reach, 1 year younger, plus 195 if you like him. Mr. Mohawk, 14-4-1 with 7 submissions. He's been knocked out also 3 times. 6-4 in the UFC. He is 1-3 over his last 4. He's lost his last fight. Striking stats in favor. He's also lands 3 times more strikes than Herbert. Grappling stats also in his favor, -250. This is another one I got question marks because I may want to get some big, big dog money, but I want to hear what you have to say first.
I think that's silly. I think Renato Moicano is going to kill him. I think it's going to be not close. While I like Jai Herbert, like Jai Herbert's chin worries me a lot. Because he was knocked out by Francisco Trinaldo, who, while is a big, giant ball of muscle, go ahead and look back at his record and find the last time, Francisco Trinaldo starched somebody on the feet. Like, you're going to have a tough time going back and looking for that. He also got knocked out by Reese McKee, who is, obviously infamous for his quick loss to Khamzat Chimaev. Like, Jai Herbert... Look, he can strike a little bit, but he loves to strike and he loves to like mix it up in there. And when he's going to hit with these guys who have power like Renato Moicano does, I think he's going to run into a lot of trouble. I think people forget Renato Moicano beat Calvin Kattar, and he beat Calvin Kattar in a fight that was just on the feet. He didn't try to out-grapple Calvin Kattar. He didn't try to do anything else. He just simply outworked him on the feet easily, almost in a similar manner to Max Holloway. Right, like he did it more with leg kicks, but like the two people who have outboxed Calvin Kattar are Max Holloway and Renato Moicano. So he's up against the guy here who's been knocked out by Francisco Trinaldo and lost a striking match to Francisco Trinaldo. Why would I not pick Moicano in his striking over the striking of Jai Herbert?
Because Renato Mohawk has never knocked anybody out in 19 pro fights.
No, but he is good on the feet. Like, we can say, like, oh, he doesn't have power or stuff like that. You're right. He is maybe more of the, like, technique type guy, and maybe he won't knock him out, but it's not like Trinaldo was losing that fight until he landed that overhand left either.
Yeah, no, all the striking and grappling stats are in Mohawk's corner. So yeah, he's my pick. If you can make a good case for Herbert, I would like to get some 2x money, but no. Carnero, aka Moicano, is the pick there at -250. Just play it safe. What else we got? Welterweights: Tim Means, Nicholas Dalby. Dalby is Locomotivo, which is locomotive. Means is the Dirty Bird. Obviously, the Dirty Bird is our choice,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, it's not even close.
Obviously. All right, Locomotive is 19-3-1 with 2 no contests. He's got 6 knockouts, 4 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. He is 3-2-1 with 1 no contest through 2 stints in the UFC. He's 2-0-1 over his last 3 fights. He was Cage Warrior champion twice, 2 different stints as Cage Warrior champion. He's at +115. Dirty Means Bird is 31-12-1 with 1 no contest. He's got 19 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been subbed 5 times in his career, so almost half his losses have come via submission. He made his debut way back in 2004. He's 13-9 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's won his last 2 and 3 of his last 4, so we finally have gotten into some fighters on some roles here. Now we're into the meaty main card portion. He's taking this on short notice, though, and late replacement fighters have only won 38% of the time for the past, year and a half, I guess, right now, since I started tracking. Pinch of 1-inch reach, striking and active striking stats in his favor, as is grappling stats. I'm going to go against my short notice stat. I'm going to take him at -145.
I'm going to take Nicholas Dalby in this one.
Okay.
I'm back and forth on this one. Neither of them, like, blow me away in a way that makes me, like, really satisfied picking either of them. So I'm going to do a little MMA math, and that's never a good idea, but they both fought Daniel Rodriguez, and they both fought Daniel Rodriguez fairly recently. One of them got stunned on the feet with Daniel Rodriguez's striking and submitted by him as they were stunned. The other one stood toe-to-toe with Daniel Rodriguez in an absolute slugfest and won it on the judges' scorecards. And it was a close fight. It was a fight you definitely could have scored either way. But, like, one of them looked good enough and could stand in the pocket with Daniel Rodriguez to win a fight. And for that reason, like, you know, like, you have to imagine neither of them are going to go with a different game plan, right? Like, both of them are going to slug. Like, neither of these guys like to wrestle. And if they do, I think that even leads Dalby. So I'm going to go with Dalby here over Tim Means. I'm going to say this is probably the hardest fight on the whole card to pick, but I do like Dalby in this one.
Okay, cool. We differed. That'll make Saturday more interesting. I'm all for that. All right, what do we got? Featherweights. Andre Feely versus Daniel Pineda. Pineda's the pit. Feely's touchy. Obviously, touchy Feely is one of the best nicknames in the sport.
Yeah, that's no question.
No brainer there. All right. Pineda, 27-14 with two no contests. He's got 9 knockouts and 18 submissions, so all of his wins have come via finish, which is very impressive considering he's won 27 times. He's been subbed himself 6 times. He's 4-5 in the UFC over 2 stints. He got knocked out his last fight. He had two wins in PFL, I think, and they both got overturned for him dabbling in some special sauce, so he has 2 no contests in PFL. He was 1-4 in Bellator. He's at +180. Touchy Feely, 21-8, 9 knockouts, 3 submissions, 9-7 in the UFC. He's 1-2, lost his last 1-2 over his last 3, lost his last fight. 4 inches taller, 5 inches of reach, 5 years younger, more active striker, the better grappler stat wise and eye test, -230. Take it away.
I take Andre Feely in this one the whole time. I actually don't think this one needs all that much breakdown. The big thing for me here is Daniel Pineda is a guy who, if he has the wrestling advantage and is going to be on top, has a chance to win almost any fight in the UFC. if he cannot get on top in a grappling scenario, if he has to strike or if he has to work off of his back, I will pick him almost 0% of the time. And I just think with Andre Feely here, that's exactly what you're about to see. Andre Feely's got some good alpha male style wrestling. He's got some good submissions. If you try to shoot on him lazily, he's going to stuff those takedowns. He's going to make this a striking match. And if he doesn't, he might even wind up on top here. So, yeah, I'm going to take Andre Feely, and I think it's a simple pick.
Yep, I agree. Bantamweights, Raoni Barcelos, Timur Valiyev. Is this the fight where Dan, Shockwave messes an angel?
No, I forgot to mention, Jai Herbert was the name he messed up.
Really?
He's a Jai Herbert. Like, he tried to give, French. The French treatment.
Nice, all right. Timur Valiyev, nicknamed the Lucky. I don't know if he's lucky with the matchup he's got this week. But he wins the nickname battle because Barcelos does not have a nickname that I can find. Valiyev, 17-2 with one no contest, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's 1-0-1 in the UFC. Won his last fight. He was 8-1 in WSOF/PFL. He's 3 years younger, plus 175. Barcelos, 16-1, 8 knockouts, 2 submissions, 5-0 in the UFC. He's won 9 straight fights. Before this, he was the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and a wrestling champion. He's got an inch of height over Valiyev, minus 225, and he's got me in his corner also. I'm picking him.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Barcelos, too. I will just say this. He's gone in there and beat guys who like to strike and put pace on him, despite the fact that, you know, he's a little bit long in the tooth and getting a little older. I think he's built for the durability of a guy like Timur Valiyev, who's going to come forward and throw, like, the kitchen sink at him early. And I think Valiyev is going to wilt to that style before he does. We saw that a little bit with Sedna Magomedov, who he beat. And also just, you know, like, while he hasn't maybe had the greatest run of opponents because, you know, a lot of guys fell out of fights and stuff like that, you know, he is supposed to have fought already Cody Stamann, Mirab Dvalishvili, Rafael Assunção. Like, Barcelos is a guy the UFC, I think, believes in, and I think for good reason, is he's very skilled, and I think he just weathers an early storm here by Valiyev and cruises late in this fight.
We are both picking Barcelos in this one. Valiyev's getting a tough matchup. It comes to our heavy, not chunky, main events, co-main event and main event. I've flip-flopped on both of these. Have you flip-flopped on either of these with your picks?
No, these two I've stayed mostly right on with these two. Actually, when these two got posted, I think I had the same picks as I do currently. I don't think I flip-flopped once on these. I'm pretty confident in my picks on both.
Well, good. Maybe you can make me confident then. We've got Ovince Saint-Preux. There's a lot of French-sounding names on this card. Not very many. Just one Frenchman in the main event, but a lot of French-sounding names. And Tanner Bozer. Bozer is the bulldozer. Bulldozer Bozer. It sounds better if you say his last name. Ovince Saint-Preux is his initials OSP, which is the weakest nickname you can get. The initial thing, or if you put like a number after it.
No, what about like J-Lo for Joe Lozon?
Yeah, see, that's funny.
Or K-Flow for Ken Florian.
Yeah, some of them are all right, but usually it's weak. So Bulldozer Dozer Bozer is obviously the better nickname. So. Correct?
Yeah, it's the better nickname, for sure.
Okay, warning, he is a Canadian, and I tend to fade my fellow Canadians, and they tend to do me dirty if I do pick them. So, which also means our favorite part of the podcast, Canada Trivia, to show how I'm casting him the role as the typical American, even though he claims to be well-educated. I'm just going to prove how much even a well-educated American, how little they know about Canada yet. We know everything about their country. All right. As everyone in the world knows, you guys celebrate your Independence Day on July 4th, correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay. The whole world knows that, and it's the biggest deal in the world for you guys. You get like 10 weeks off work to celebrate, shoot your fireworks and your guns. But okay, when does Canada celebrate Canada Day? Our birthday.
It's July 1st. I do know that one.
Oh my God! Did you look it up?
No, I didn't look that up. July 1st, right? Because it's,
there you go.
I know that because it's on our calendar. When you buy a calendar,
nice of you.
Yeah, and we still buy calendars in my house. But like, if you buy a calendar, it's on there like 3 days ahead of time, just like when you try to have Thanksgiving before us.
Yes, we do. Well, that's much better spaced out. You have Thanksgiving is way better in October because a lot of the food and everything, it's very similar to Christmas, so it's better, you know, a few months before. I'm sure we'll get into that when it gets closer. I think we've had this debate on this podcast.
I think perhaps. We have to.
All right, Dan impressed me. So let's see if he impressed me with his knowledge of this fight. So OSP, not Canadian. He's 25-15. 12 knockouts, 8 submissions, 13-10 in the UFC. 1-2 over his last three. He got TKO'd his last fight. He missed weight his last fight also, which was a light heavyweight fight. This one is at heavyweight. He was supposed to fight a different opponent at light heavyweight. Short notice fight. He's not taking a fight on short notice, but his opponent is stepped in on short notice. So he doesn't want to cut weight, obviously. He will be about, based on his last and his weigh-in when he fought at heavyweight, he was right around the same weight as Balls, right around the mid-240s, so it should be a wash for weight size speaking. He is, if that even makes sense, what I just said, weight size speaking, that's good English. He lost his heavyweight fight in the UFC. That was to the washed Ben Rothwell, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes, not good. Before this, he was 6-1 in Strikeforce. He's an inch taller, got 5 inches of reach, plus 135. Bulldozer Bozer, the Canadian from out west, I believe he is taking this fight on short notice, which is very – he just fought, what, a month ago?
Yeah, and he was talking about being released after that, too.
Yep.
He was hoping
he
to be released.
He got super angry.
Yeah.
And he got a new contract, he said, out of this, too.
Yeah,
six
fight deal, too.
Yeah, first of all, Canadians don't complain about things. Secondly, he got himself on a two-fight losing streak, got himself a six-fight contract, which is great. It doesn't really matter how long these contracts are, though, because they can cut you at any time they want. But so basically, it's the longer it is, probably the worse it is for the fighter, because it's one-way traffic there. They can get rid of him, but he cannot get rid of them if he wants to until the contract's up. So regardless, usually when they get a new contract, though, you get a nice bump in pay, so which is surprising. So they must still think highly of him, despite him being on a two-fight losing streak. Overall, he's 19-8-1 with 10 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's 3-3 in the UFC. He fought June the 5th. I didn't even have to ask you. So we're talking 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks, when fight night rolls around. He's 8 years younger, striking and active, striking stats in his favor, grappling in his favor, stat-wise, minus 170. Let's see if you can convince me. I'm not going to tell you who I am flitting and flopping between.
I'm not going to try to convince you, but I am going to tell you I'm clearly going to take Ovince St. Preux.
There you go. That's who I flop to. So, yep,
yeah,
Ovince St. Preux.
Yeah, I like Tanner Boser a lot, but, like, I'm seeing a plus number next to OSP, which is, first of all, a weird one in a heavyweight fight. I actually think, despite the fact he's going up in weight, he's going to look way bigger and possibly be heavier, too. Like, not even just bigger, but, like, heavier. You know, Bozer just had trouble with the takedown against Ilir Latifi. He's up against the guy who can hold him down like Ilir Latifi did and has really good top game submissions and top game striking. Like, he's got good ground and pound, too. So, like, I think he's actually in more trouble if he gets taken down against OSP. You got the length that he's going to have to deal with. I mean, there's just so many alarms here for Tanner Boser. I think you just have to go with OSP, especially when you see the plus number.
Yep, we are agreeing there. So there you go. So you made me more confident with my flipping and flopping. So even though you are, what, 53% and I'm 55%, I'm still...
But who's made more money?
Dan's lost more money. He hasn't made more money. He's donated less money than I have.
Lost less.
Put it that way. All right, main event. Another heavy, not chunky fight. Cyril Gane versus Alexander Volkov. French versus Russia, if you're into that jingoistic stuff. Drago, Volkov, and Bon Gamin for Gane, which translates to good kid. I guess you gotta go to Drago.
Yeah, you gotta go with Drago. That's the best Rocky movie.
But are we going with Drago with our pick? Let's see. He is 33-8, 22 knockouts, 3 submissions, 7-2 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight and 3 of 4. He's won the past 2 via TKO. He was 10-3 in M1, where he was the champ, so he's got extensive experience. He also was 6-4 in Bellator, where he was the champ. 3 inches taller, and based on their last weigh-ins, he was 17 pounds heavier. He's at plus 135. Bongaman, Cyril Gane, who has been on Dan's podcast. Volkov is not, I don't think, right?
He is not. That is correct.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I'm tipping my hand here, guys. Gane, 8-0, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions, 5-0 in the UFC. Before all this, he was 7-0 as a professional Muay Thai fighter. Inch of reach, 2 years younger. Striking and active striking stats in his favor. Grappling in his favor, minus 170. I've flopped after listening to more analysis on this. I've flopped over to Drago on this. I think Gane's getting his prospect loss here.
I'm going to go with you, too. I'm going to take Drago.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm confident now.
I didn't expect us to both agree on these top two fights, but yeah, like, the thing is, not only do I think he's going to get a prospect loss at some point in time, but also just, like, the style of which he fights, right? Like, he's a very technical guy who, if he throws a leg kick and it lands, he's going to throw that leg kick 7 more times, and that works against a guy like Yair Rozenstruik, right? Like, that works against a guy... I mean, like, think of some of the other people he beat that aren't necessarily all that good. But Yair Rozenstruik is the one that sticks in my head. Volkov is a very technical striker right back at you. And here's the other thing. He's more aggressive than Cyril Gane. And Gane, it doesn't seem like the type of guy who, if Volkov gets overly aggressive, is going to punish him and is going to knock him out because he is super careful. So I think over a 5-round period, especially, that aggression is going to pay off for Volkov, and I could just see him winning it as a result.
Yep, I totally agree. And plus, the experience factor is, it's night and day here. 8 pro fights versus 41 pro fights. That's which probably explains a lot of how, like you were saying, how Gane fights. If one thing works, he's going to keep doing it because he just doesn't have the experience in the MMA realm at this point.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense, too, like the experience level. And also it's part of the reason why I think he comes in here as a favorite, too, is because Volkov is a guy who has some losses that we remember, right? Like, we remember him losing to Derek Lewis by brutal knockout. You might not remember the fact that he tooled on Derek Lewis nonstop for, like, 3.5 rounds or something like that beforehand, or 2.5 rounds, rather, beforehand. Yeah. Whereas Gane, all we have to remember is, like, you know, decent performances where he eked out victories.
Yeah, and we're getting plus money here. I think Volkov's on a nice little run here too. He seems to be peaking. And despite all the experience, he's only 2 years older than Gane also. So it's not like he's a washed up dude. He's only 32 years old. So that is our pick. We're going with the evil Russian in this Rocky. Matchup here. So do you have any props or parlays that jump out at you this week?
Yeah, I don't think I necessarily have a parlay for you this week. I will say, you know, like, there's a lot of fights I feel unsure about, so pairing them together seems almost silly. But, you know, I did mention that I thought Shavkat Rakhmonov is a guy who could go out and finish Michel Prezerish. If you look at those odds, you can get him, and instead of, you know, hovering around negative 300, you can get him at even money. To get a finish, which I like. And if you want to get a little bit crazier and you want to go with the real D-gen play, you know, Shavkat Rakhmonov winning by submission, which I think is maybe not out of the realm of possibility, is plus 675. You know, I probably take him just for the finish because I think he can get it done with his hands, and that's probably the more likely avenue. But plus 100 to get either type of finish is kind of nice. And I'll also take, I like Warley Alves to finish, Jeremiah Wells too. Him winning inside distance, also even money there. I'm not going to get specific on the type of finish he gets here. Cause again, I think it could be submission or knockout, but even money on either of those two to win, you got to like either of those.
Yep. Definitely. All right. Let's go with our locks, I need to get back on track. I believe that first pick, I'm going with Rakhmonov. I don't care if he's plus minus 280. I'll take any money I can get. So he's my lock.
For my lock, I am going to go with, I'll take Warley Alves.
He was my second choice. Yeah.
Like, and I'm kind of leaning, I'll tip my hand here too. I was kind of leaning towards Charles Rosa because the number's a little better, but Justin James does have that power. Whereas Jeremiah Wells, I feel like he's just going to make a mistake. So I'll take Warley Alves. I think that's the safer play as far as a lock this week.
And that does it. Anything else you think we need to tell the people, Dan, before I tell them all, give them all their homework? Anything else about this card other than it stinks?
No, I think you nailed it. It stinks.
All right. It stinks. All right. Here's your homework. Go to MMA-Manifesto.com. Read all our articles. Dan still owes me two articles for this week. So he better get those in quick. Or he's not going to – wait a minute. I was going to say I'm going to withhold money from him, but no. That won't work. Get those articles in. Dan will have some preview picks for you to read if he has time. If not, that's not a problem either. We always have our pick 'em contest, so go and find the pick 'em contest, enter it, and my boss at the other job, Sports Gambling Podcast, is footing the bill for $50 gift card to wherever you want. If you win it, listen to Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast and Primer podcast. And Top Turtle's got two guys who, Charles Rosa, and he's got
Hurricane
another guy
Ike.
Who I was.
Hurricane Ike.
Hurricane Ike. There you go. What else shall you do? Download our app, why don't you? Be a buddy. SGPN app is really good. You can even listen to this podcast on it. And subscribe to our podcast. Also, if you don't listen to it on our app, subscribe to it wherever you like to catch your podcast at. Subscribe to the MMA gambling one, the exclusive one for us. And if you could give us a rating or a review, that'd be awesome. So put us up the rankings, trick those algorithms into thinking we're a good podcast. What else? Let me think. Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer. He's Gumby Vreeland. Anything else I should tell him about, Dan?
No, I think you got it all.
All right. Go Suns, go. So this is Juicy Jeff. On behalf of Gumby Vreeland signing off, we will see you. Well, we won't see you. We'll see your eardrums on Sunday. Bye-bye.